is here in Der Hashem this year, Wednesday afternoon. Shir number 26. And it's no, shir number 27. Sorry about that. Number 27, Tezayin Teves, January 3rd, section 1, Perek Chamishi, paragraph Zayin. So he's telling us the physics of everything that happens in this world. That's all, just that. And he described the most important.
The main idea is that everything, there are kolchos elyonim. And, you know, I think it's easier to appreciate that if you are aware of the strides that this made. So even in the physical world, they realized very chidush. But nowadays, they realize how many forces there are in the world, in the physical world, that are acting upon objects and that cause things to happen. And we're not talking about Bechira, obviously. But everything is amazingly complex, and everything has a reason why it happened, and then that reason has a reason, and everything is very ordered, and it's physics. You can explain everything that's happening. A person slips on a piece of ice, you can write a book about it. Why did he slip? What does slippery mean? Why did he slip? Why did he fall? Why did he break his leg? So you have to explain all of that. It's very, very complicated why a person slips on ice, why ice is slippery. Very complicated. It has to do with the very thin layer melts, and then you don't get a good grip, that becomes water. And then why do you fall? Focus of gravity. That's explain gravity. Why do you break your leg? Why is it so? And we are now privy to so much knowledge in the physical world. Nothing simple anymore. Like I said, someone says the light went on because you flipped the switch. A child, an 8-year-old child says that. So, what the Ramchal does, before the explosion of knowledge in the physical world, so you see that things are enormously complicated and complex. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an enormously complex system. Everything has a cause, everything has a reason it happens, and just purely physically, nothing just happens. Everything is the product of an enormous chain of events, an enormous chain of factors, of electromagnetism, of gravity, of different forces of the world, of different waves, different radio waves. It's enormously, enormously complicated. And people who know physics appreciate that. And chemistry, everything. Chemistry, physics. So the Ramchal is saying, I think it makes it easier to be Makarmel HaSeichel to say that this is a spiritual aspect of all of this. Everything we see, with all the complexity and all the everything, is merely the ripple effect. And it's just like my nose bleeding is, in the physical world, is the ripple effect of many, many forces and concepts and ideas that physical so and this happens, so this happens, so that happens, and blood, and the clots, and gravity, right, and a blood vessel, and things. And that's just in the physical. If there's 100 links in the chain of why I slip on a piece of ice and break my leg, or even a child will say, my father slipped on ice, She was in the hospital. So that's what I thought of. But I was like, wait a second. How do you live in a hospital if you slip on ice? That magic? Oh, you slip on ice? Why do you slip? You fall. Why do you fall? You break your leg. Break your leg. Why do you have to go to the hospital if you break your leg? Right? It's so everything has a spiritual. You just keep going up the chain. Because it's all, everything, all the advances, all the Wikipedias, all the everything, is all in the Olam HaGashmi. And then the Ramchal comes along and says, guess what? The chain continues. It moves up, and it becomes a little more ruchni, a little more ruchni, and this building. And the idea that there's billions of links in the chain, but if you would write an essay why a person sneezes, you would find out that there's 100 links in that chain. And that's purely physical. 100 links why a person sneezes. It's very complicated why a person. Everything's complicated. It's simple if you're a child, so the switch light goes on. My nose tickles me, so I sneeze. So I think that Ramchal is much more, I'm not talking about maybe believable, but even much more, you get it. Like, yeah, why not? Everything is like that. So why it just continues up the ladder? Like, Sulam Mutzavar and Sulam Roshim Yeshemai. So that's what the Ramchal establishes here in Perikei. Look at Perikei. Perikei introduces the idea of spiritual forces. He categorizes them and gives them names. And then he explains that those spiritual forces are the source and the makor of everything that happens in all things in the world. Every chair, every blade of grass, everything has its spiritual counterpart. That's Mishtal Sheol, Lamata, and results in the chair, the table, the event, history. It's as complicated as it sounds. Each Ummah has a sire. Hashem decides. Even it's not, you have a lion tearing apart a deer for its lunch. It means the lion's won over the deer in Shemayim. As funny as it sounds, everything has a spiritual counterpart. And that's the real cause of everything that happens. Okay. With one exception. One exception is Bechira. And that's heavy. It's heavy. My Bechira, which is told or Ra, I control everything. So it travels up instead of down. But Kyle explained, it doesn't just travel up because I can't. I say tilling to someone, he gets better. I say tilling to someone, he goes out of jail. I say tilling to someone, he finds a shidduch. There's no connection there. So it goes up and then again down, like everything else. As everything flows from the spiritual forces, Mishtal Sheol Lamata, Bechira goes up, as if the puppet came alive, and the puppet's really pulling the strings and the fingers. Right? You see fingers going like this, you see the puppet dancing. So even if you're sophisticated, then you realize that the fingers are moving and the strings are pulling. And that's why the puppet's moving. But by Bechira, the puppet came alive, and you didn't even have. You see the same thing happening. You don't realize that the puppet came alive, and the puppet's moving your finger. The puppet's tugging at your finger. That's what Bechira is. It's not a puppet anymore. Puppet came alive, and it's not a puppet. It's the causer, it's the mover and shaker. But it has to go up and then down, because all I can do is go regash. I can do a mitzvah. I could say tehillim, I could daven, I could do a mitzvah, I could make good bechiras, but that doesn't open up the jail door, that doesn't cure the disease, so it goes up, gives koach, masake, tikkun, whatever word would be used, the spiritual forces up there, and then it comes back down again, and results in the cholech getting better, etc. Not always. We're not privy to what strings to pull. We don't know. We don't know. Sometimes you have these stories of rabbis, or you have other stories in books. You know that if you do this mitzvah, it's going to pull that string, and it's going to result in the result you want. Okay, maybe, maybe not. You know, okay. They only write about the stories that work. They don't write about the other stories that don't work. Because we don't know. We're not really true. Maybe the senior rabbis who are capable, they could even sometimes the stories, they go directly into the Olam HaSeol Yonim. And they pull strings, and some of the stories they're pulling strings even without doing a mitzvah. They're just nodding off with their pipe. And they're smoking their pipe, and they're doing stuff up there. Okay. I think it's not possible. According to the system, it's possible. It's because I can't do it. It's not possible. So Chal saying, I can do it if I do mitzvahs, if I daven, if I do good deeds, I make good choices here, so I can affect the right forces, lamala, and then it'll come down again as good things. You had a question?
What is the mechanism there? Is it the quantity of mitzvahs
that make the balance? We don't know. It could be one kid that gave up his allowance that week and gave a sukkah. And that's worth more to Hashem than 300 guys in the Beis Medrash screaming their heads off, Shiva Ma'alas. We don't know.
So
ultimately,
it's Hashem's decision. It's not the spiritual law.
Yeah, but it's a little more, it's more technical than a decision. There's a physics there. And Hashem knows what the physics is. I mean, He created the physics. So it's not like beyond His control, Chas v'Shalom. But the word Hashem decides makes it sound arbitrary. In the Ramchal's world, it's not arbitrary. If I hit the right button, it'll happen. Because we don't know what that button is. So we know about davening. We know about Tehillim, we know about Tshuva Tzaka, Tzvila, Mavirna, Throw Akzera, right? We know that Klal Yisrael gets together, it's a very powerful force. Remember, Ramchal, with all the super, super complexity, only talking about one person. Then everybody has different strings, and everybody has different things. You know, a woman could decide to be more tzniyostik, a man could decide to learn for an extra 20 minutes. We don't know. But it's not outlandish anymore when you hear that that affected the Gezeira and the war was won because people were makabel to do certain things. So it's not outlandish at all, and it's not magic. It's physics. It's spiritual physics. We don't know. We don't know. So we just try. We try our best. There are a few universals, like davening is a universal. It's not just the mitzvah of davening. It's davening. Tillim is a universal. Stucker is a universal. Good deeds, as you have to know, everybody knows their own personal demons. Right? Everybody knows their own personal demons. And a person that, and that's mysterious nefesh. And that's not mysterious nefesh, it gets headlines. Right? If I place a woman on an incredibly busy schedule, she decides to carve out time for mincha every day. Who knows? You know, we don't know. You know, that's, it's certainly going to stand her in good stead. Now, I'm not saying, it's just an example. If you're dominating mincha would make you dysfunctional in the house, then it's not a good thing to do. You have to always judge, look it over maybe, see if it's a good thing. A man could decide to learn more. A woman could decide to learn more too, I'm sorry, but it just doesn't pack the same wallop, I'm sorry. I didn't make the rules, I'm sorry. The man's mitzvah v'osa, God on mitzvah v'osa, the nisha ain't a mitzvah v'osa, because the etzar is bigger. Right? So someone who is mechuyev to do something has more of a struggle to do it. It may be counterintuitive, but the Gemara assures us of that reality, that the person who has to do it has to struggle more to do it than the person that doesn't have to do it. The Gemara thought at first the other way, because there's a certain counterintuitiveness to this. You say, well, who has to struggle more? The person that doesn't have to do the good deed. So he could just not do it. And he still does it. That's amazing. That's wonderful. He's a volunteer. He wasn't drafted. He volunteered. That can't be anything bigger than that. But the Gemara is, it's not so punchy. It's a very interesting Gemara. It's a fascinating Gemara. I like you to philosophize about the Gemara. The Gemara goes back and forth with it. The Gemara's maskana is that it knows the demons a person has. And when you have to do something, the human resists. Everybody is a teenager or not. You tell me to do something, I'll make my bed every day till you tell me to make my bed, and I'm not going to do it. You're not going to tell me what to do. We're all teenagers. We want to break free. We want to be independent. So Gemara said, that's a maskana. Someone who has to do something is on a higher madrega than someone who volunteers, because they're fighting a Yetzirah. I'm explaining the Yetzirah is the Yetzirah that says, no, don't tell me what to do. It's a human condition. It's a fascinating Gemara. Gemara volunteers are much greater. Anyway, so that's the system. And Bechira is Tov and Ra. That's so much to talk about Bechira being Tov and Ra also. So much to talk about, because Tov and Ra is not just mitzvahs and averus. It's overcoming midos. So if I choose to walk instead of taking a ride, it might be I'm overcoming the mida of atzlus. It might be I'm coming on the wrong side of Zerizos. So I want to say how complicated things are. I might be feeding my Yetzirah of Atzlus, because Midos is all important. Some say Midos is the name of the game in life. So I might be overcoming Atzlus by walking and not taking the ride. On the other hand, I might be feeding into a different type of laziness, not a physical laziness, but not such a rush to get to shul, you know. So I'll walk, you know, who says I have to come on time, you know. I'll come a little late because I want to walk. So Hashem knows what your demons are, Hashem knows what you're overcoming. I'm just saying Tov and Ra, even if we don't go to the Chavos and Wallace's extent of saying everything is Tov and Ra. You said it's very hard. Most people do not live on that level where everything is Tov and Ra. Most people are just flies over the head, they're oblivious to that possibility. But Midos. Midos are very, very. A lot of Tov and Ra are not mitzvahs. The Gemara says, this is the super duper famous Gemara. I mean, in Bollywood, it's famous. You probably heard it. If you have the Gemara, it talks about, you know, there's a mitzvah to unload an animal that's collapsing under its package. And there's a mitzvah to help reload it if the package fell, and you're helping reload it. So the Gemara says the first one is a little more of a mitzvah, because it's Sabali Chayim involved, and you're helping the animal. The animal fell down, you're fixing it up, you're unloading it from collapsing. So you're also cutting a ring, Sabali Chayim. The Gemara says, if someone you like, two people are out there, someone you like and someone you don't like, and each one has an animal, and one animal's collapsed. the friend has the animal that's collapsing. And the enemy, or the person you don't like so much, has the animal that needs to be loaded. So the Gemara says, you have to help the enemy. The Gemara says, well, why? It's Amalekhayim. It's Amalekhayim factor. The Gemara says, Lokuf as Yitzro Adif. More important to overcome your feelings that you don't like this guy and you help him. That's more important. So you see that the Gemara is a mitos. So you see like the leftover Masrat is mitos. So life is very complicated. Someone asked me a question like this. Not someone from the shul, someone from Yishalayim. They dabbled in a very early minyan of the Sikha minyan. And he, for years, has been bringing cake, cookies, cake. You know, it's like older people, Yishalayim, or somebody like gift to dabbling, they go to Chayim, they eat some cake, a cookie or two. And he's been doing this for years. In the last year, people started taking things home. You know, they buy a kiddush sometimes. You take home a piece of cake. If you don't keep your kid that had to stay at home, nobody cares. But people started like loading up. And he found himself going from an expenditure of, let's say, 100 shekel a week to 400 shekel a week. Because people were taking stuff home. Now he brought it to people in shul. People to take home and stack up. But you know, it's old news, you know. So people do that. I'm not casting aspersions, I'm not being a racist. People do that. So he has enough to do. Should he stop? Should he, like, he can't afford 200 shekels a week. And you know, like, they're only taking advantage of it. On the other hand, you know, should he put a little cheap on his part? He wants to be a generous person. He doesn't want to like stop everyone's fun. I told him he should stop. He should put up a sign. That's all. He shouldn't make a tour. He should put up a sign that the cookies were brought to be consumed in the shul, not to be taken home. And I said, you know, some people are not going. They're going to stop. They just need a sign. Everybody's, you know, more ahead there, figures it's okay. And all you have to do is put up a sign and see the sign. But that's what you should do because you should. I felt like his amigos comes in. It wasn't a lack of generosity. He couldn't afford it. And he was being taken advantage of. And sometimes a person has to stand up for himself. Sometimes you have to be mevater there. It's complicated. That's why you have to answer someone else. And then you move out there, and sometimes you should, you know, I don't want to be a friar. Sometimes that's a correct feeling that you don't want to be taken advantage of because you don't want to be stepped on. And that's also, because Halachos talks about that as a Shara Anivos. He doesn't call it Anivos. What does he call it? What?
Kniya,
thank you. He said that, we should. Well, you don't be stepped on, that's terrible. It's a mental illness, he calls it. You step all over. So, thank you. And I felt here he was just letting himself be stepped on. There's no reason to let people take this off home. Ridiculous. He brought it to the minion for people to enjoy it. So that's like Tovah and Ra, and the Bechira there. You have to choose, you have to know what to choose, you have to know. Midos is very complicated, right? A person wants to get to a chasana on time, and his intentions are pure to be a mishtatis and a simcha, and a woman has to have a marib without a minyan. Now, marib, is like not as heavy as the other two dominates. It's a good question. I don't know what the answer is. I think it depends.
They have more about the wedding.
What? I'm talking about if there's a conflict. You know, sometimes you have a conflict that's just on you. So I would say if he's very good friends with the guy, he should not admire with a minion and conflict. But if there's been a little tension between them, then he should go and not admire alone. That's what I would say. Anyway, Migdos is Tov and Ra also, that's all. Tov and Ra is not simple. Tov and Ra is not simple. According to Chayes HaLamos, it's really not simple. But, Atzlus, there's a lot of things. You know, Ramosha Tversky's on Sal, who was killed in Arnof. I know the family very, very well. I have Mr. Rabba's permanent son-in-law and his daughter. Before she got married, I was in yeshiva. It was like a family in yeshiva. And he put a lot of effort into not being a matzel. His wife said he would barely ever ask her to do anything for him that he could do himself. He worked on the meat of Atzlus. Okay. And you have to know your demons. Everybody has demons. I didn't realize demons are type of demons. Okay. Anyway, paragraph Zion says Vihine. So he describes the system in over a few paragraphs. We keep repeating it over and over. And he says, you know, it's not almost too complicated. It's not simple. Just like I'm saying, you know, the physical world is almost too complicated. Nothing is simple. Zion. Vihine. Now he says, now he turns philosophical. He turns philosophical. And he struggles with the issue, if everything are spiritual forces, if everything is has spiritual forces, spiritual sources, and it's just Mishtalsha Lamata, what is evil? Does evil exist as a spiritual force, Lamata? And it's a philosophical question. What is evil? I think Christianity has the devil, and it's almost like there's no Hashem in the realm of evil. The devil has his own malucha, and he can do things, which is, of course, not the way we think. But does evil have a spiritual force from Allah? So at first he says, if you remember, he said, previous paragraph, he said, good is or Panei Hashem. Hashem is shining at you. Hashem is, the sun is shining through the window. You're getting the light of the sun. You're getting the light of Hashem. Keep or Panecha Nesatel Lano Hashem Elokeinu. You're connecting to Hashem. And if you do bid, so you are throwing dirt onto the window, and the sun can't shine in. The sun is still shining. You haven't affected the sun, Chas V'Shalom. But it can't shine through the window. Or if you put up many layers of glass, the sun doesn't shine through. It becomes opaque even. It doesn't shine through. Or it's muddy and it's all buildable. So that's what you're doing. Hashem turns away from you. Anochi Aster Panai. That would seem to imply that there's no positive reality of evil. It's the absence, it's a void of Hashem's countenance. Yeah, he turns philosophical now. Why does he turn philosophical now? Because he just established in 4, 5, 6 different ways that everything has a spiritual force. So what is evil's spiritual force? So in Zion he says, he goes a little back and forth on this. He waxes philosophical from here really till the end of Perek Hamishi. Paragraph Zion, Ches and Tes talks about the existence of evil in these Olamos Elyonim. So I'm saying, till now I tried to make it very practical and very, say down to earth, but I should say up in heaven, down to earth. Try to make it very real, and like this means that we talk to affect the outcome of a war, and we talk to decide if the Chole will get better, you know. We hope we do. I say we never know what Hashem is doing. But now he's sort of, I don't know, now he's just, like, it's a philosophical issue. Because now that he established, so what about evil? What is evil spiritual force of Allah? The name. But the name of the game is evil. The name of the game is Tov and Ra. The name of the game is Bechira. That is, not just Hashem wanted, like we had before in Lashon. The purpose of the whole world is to overcome the evil. And to clean the window. I believe it's Pesach. You got to clean that window and let the sun shine in and its full force. So till now, this is the point he makes. Because he says, wait a second. In the earlier part of the first section, I talked about good and evil in this world. But now that I just explained that there's a system with its transcendent forces, spiritual forces, from where everything flows. So what's evil up there? How can you have evil? Evil is like anti-Hashem, so to speak. So he says, "V'nei v'yosher gozer chachmasin yizbara shi'ir ba'olam etzias atova hara kemoshas acharnu." Since it's necessary for the functioning of the world, for the purpose of the world, not just the functioning, for the purpose of the world. Is to overcome evil, especially after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, we explained everything went south. And now you really have to struggle to overcome evil because it's not a fair fight anymore. Now it's weighted on the side of evil. But wait a second, according to what I said, then the roots of good and evil have to be Lamala, Sarashiyah, Bakochos Ayla Sarashiyah. So there has to be transcendent forces. So he wants to know the nature of evil in these spiritual transcendent forces. Because everything flows from up to down. Hashem arranged these kochos hanedolim, these transcendent forces, sharoshe, which are the roots of hanivram shazacharnu, everything down here, the seder, Hashem, everything is besudar. One thing for sure, I mean, it's not a chaotic universe. Everything he says about spiritual forces and everything. Everything is very mesudar. You notice that? Everything has a plan and a tochnit, and A causes B, B causes C. Everything is very, very mutuknach. Nothing chaotic about the world at all. So Hashem was mesader, mesader, u'metchuna. Sheyipol b'hem, that it should occur to them, spiritual forces, kifima sheshayef b'hem, whatever it means, we're not really sure how to describe it, tikkun v'kilkul. So right now he's describing spiritual forces, positive spiritual forces, and they could be mesukan, they could be fixed up, they could be enhanced, fixed up, made more powerful, but kilkul, and they could be spoiled. He doesn't want to say that there's ra yet. Not yet. He wants to avoid saying there's ra. He wants to say that the tov that's up there, because everything's Hashem and everything from Hashem is tov, can be mesukan or mekulkal. It's not working. V'amikos tov, v'amatzav, and what's good is yiyeh sheyu b'hachona. It means that they're ready, layer or upon of Yisbarach v'yorim lahem. They're ready to be a kabel, the shining of Hashem's countenance to them. Or p'nechon asatolon Hashem alokenu v'rashayim v'avashesed v'stokul v'rochol v'rachman v'chayim v'shalom v'ho erei neinu v'sarasecha v'hopcho. And it's opposite. Hashem's face is, so to speak, withheld from it. He pulls down the window shade, he puts his mud on the window, it can't shine in. The Yisalei Mehem, the Toldos, and that's what happens up there. And when it comes down to our world, the Toldos, Tikkun of Mashvalim, who have told Vohem, Vahahepech, Behepech. We call it Ra. So that's Tov and Ra. Good things happening, bad things happening. What's happening with Mala is that the spiritual forces are Mesukan or Mekulkal. What's happening is that they are Mukhan, they are ready to bear the Or Pnei Hashem. And if it's Mekulkal, it's not ready to bear the Or Pnei Hashem. And that has ramifications Lamata, as what we call Tov and Ra. See, he right now he's avoiding to use the word Ra. It's Tov and the Hepach is Tov, because there's no Or Pnei Hashem. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay. Good. Let me know if you've had enough. Section. I'm not sure if I can answer you yet. I'm not sure. Similar. I don't know. Too general a question. I'm not capable of answering you that. It's worthwhile to learn. Unless there's a vote to stop learning this. Okay. What should I say?